your giant size appetite.
And that's my toy.
Hey, Pete, you watching football?
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Pop with the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. We got a big show lined up for you this week. We had a special correspondent at the NFL Draft. You don't want to miss that. Part one of our David Tyree interview. But to get things started, the Giants' first two draft picks, Eric Flowers and Landon Collins, on their arrival with Big Blue.
Our general manager.
How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Congratulations.
Welcome aboard.
Glad you're a Giant, man. All right. Okay, looking good.
Appreciate it. I try.
All right. You got that hat on?
Doing all right?
I'm doing good. I think we'll come back up on Thursday, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we gotta get a picture with this, man. Take that thing off.
Turn the other way. Good to see you. Yeah. Congratulations to you.
Congrats, man. I'm looking forward to having you.
The journey begins.
All right, man.
We're all shorter than this
phone call.
A lot more traffic, a lot more going on. So the city never really sleep, so I mean, I like it.
So it's going pretty good. I'm just focus on football, come in, clock out, get the job done.
Look at this guy. There's the guy right here.
It's a dream come true to walk in here and then finally have your name called and to be at the facility that you're going to be playing there for the next few years. I mean, it's a dream come true. You always dream of this moment, and then when it actually happens, a sign of relief. It's just a great feeling. And to visit here and be here, man, it's fantastic.
Obviously, a lot of excitement for both Eric Flowers and Landon Collins with their arrival to the New York Giants. Now it's time for Sights and Sounds, brought to you by Verizon.
Hey, this is awesome, to be honest. This is my first year coming here doing this, and I'm like a little kid right now. It's pretty cool.
The 2014 draft class, second round selection, Weston Richburg.
To be around some of the fans and see how excited they are for this year, it really makes me want to strap on the helmet right now. So, it was great to be around everybody and to see who we're going to draft and just to be around the stadium.
Landon, Landon.
We got a good group coming in. I heard we're trading around for a few people. We just got so much going on, and we already have the receivers. We have the QB getting a line to protect them too, so they can connect. I'm looking forward to it.
No, I'm talking about those pants, man. Those are sick.
It just speaks to how classy this organization is, and how from top to bottom it's just run really well. It's great to give the fans this kind of exposure to players. I enjoy talking to fans like that too, so it was a really good day.
Success comes in many rounds in the NFL draft. When we come back, a guy who was a mid-round pick who proved to be a Super Bowl hero. We'll tell you about it as we continue with Giants Access Blue after this. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. There's been so much talk about the draft and the first round and where you get picked. But it doesn't matter where you get picked. It's what you do when you finally get to the NFL. Part one of our series of our legacy interview with David Tyree.
In the sixth round of the 2003 NFL draft, the Giants selected a special teams ace out of Syracuse, David Tyree. A local Montclair, New Jersey native, was elated to be coming home to play for Big Blue.
For me, getting drafted was just something that was really overwhelmingly enormous. Then, being the fact that it was in my backyard, you know, it was an immediate love affair once, you know, I came in to sign that contract. I had a great amount of confidence, I would say, and I played special teams since a freshman in college. So I expected to make the Pro Bowl as a rookie. So my expectations were high there.
And it's blocked by Tyree.
Being a great special teams player is about playing this thing 100%, you know, 1,000 miles an hour, you know, and playing a game like you love it. More than being a good receiver or a good special teams player, I prided myself on being a great football player. And my mindset was, I got to find a way to help my team. I got to find a way to make an impact in this game.
David Tyree blocks the punt.
I remember when you got drafted and you said, look, I'm not just a special teams guy.
Yeah.
I can play receiver. I want to play receiver. Why did you have that confidence?
No one wants to be put into a box. I knew I excelled, and I knew what was going to give me an opportunity at the National Football League, and that was special teams. But I really felt like I could offer something, and I was never a prototype. So, you know, you always got a little chip on your shoulder. You know, I came in here with my own set of expectations to show this organization that I can be another asset in a different way.
Collins in a shotgun, takes the snap. Drops back, he rolls right, he pumps. Nobody's open, he's buying some time now. He guns one down the middle of the field. He's looking for Tyree, who makes the catch. David Tyree makes the catch at the 14-yard line. The rookie out of Syracuse with his first ever NFL catch, and it was a huge one.
All right, so you're the special teams rookie of the year, Giants rookie of the year. How are you handling all this off the field?
Oh, man, it was an absolute nightmare. Montclair, where I lived at, was probably 15 to 20 minutes away from the stadium. And the truth was, I kind of came right back into all my old relationships from high school. So my friends are still my friends. But I had my issues. You know, the marijuana, the drinking. I felt like I didn't really have any control over my impulses. I call myself a functional alcoholic. I really didn't miss a weekend.
I think he masked it pretty well. I think the only real signs were some days he'd come to the stadium late. And some days he'd come to the stadium smelling like a brewery.
You know, the marijuana kind of became more of an issue. The more money I got, you know, that became more accessible. I found that money kind of intensified all my negative issues more than solved them. And it was really no way around it until I kind of hit that brick wall.
Hey, David, what the hell are you doing? Come on, wake up. I need that ball down there.
Jim Fossil had to fine you, like 10 grand. Tell me about that moment and the aftermath of it.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I remember he told me, it was just like, you know, I had to find you. You have to learn from this. You know, you have a good future in this league. And that was actually where the next layer of problems started for me, because I just lost $10,000. And in my mindset, kind of as an Essex County kid growing up, I'm thinking, how am I going to get that money back? You know, and my street mentality said, well, you know, you're smoking the best weed, you might as well start selling it. And it's so dumb, you know, when I look at where I'm at right now and the decision that I make today, but that was a logical choice for me back then. You know, I was just really ignorant, really. Just didn't know how to live life as a mature man.
Now Fossil gets relieved of his duties, and now you got Tom Coughlin coming in. And before you even have a practice with him, you get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
What was that moment like for you?
It was deflating in a few different ways. You know, it was really a low point for me. You know, it was a point of, you know, where I kind of began for the first time maybe in my life take ownership of my own decisions. I'm saying I'm the captain of my own life, and this is where, 24 years of age, I've gotten myself right here in a jail cell in Fort Lee. And, you know, I guess you could say that's where really the turnaround began for me. I had my first sincere prayer, and I said, God, all I know is I need you, and if you allow me to keep my job, I'd appreciate that too. So Tom Coughlin was, he was firm, like, you need to handle your business. And they gave me another opportunity. I had a complete 180 in my whole experience, meaning that 10 days after I got arrested, I was in the church and had this real encounter. You know, I was a little broken, ended up weeping in the back of this church. And, you know, from that moment I left that church, I never drank again, never had a desire to smoke, marijuana again. You know, I was married 3 months later. That was the beginning of change, and I never looked back.
What kept you?
What kept me is 100% my faith, you know. And I remember kind of having these insecure feelings about my performance. And I just kind of got into the Bible, and it was this passage, and it said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And it just kind of spoke to me in a way where I said, man, this is going to be all right. You know, and obviously I made the team, and it actually ended really sweet for me in that 2004 season, Eli's rookie year.
Manning, pump fake, swings one left, wide open, Tyree, touchdown Giants. David Tyree's first career touchdown.
David Tyree, a local kid trying to make good with the Giants. Make sure you join us next week for part two of the David Tyree Legacy Interview. Now, the draft is all kinds of fun. We had a special correspondent in Chicago. We'll tell you about it when we return after this. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. You know, part of the run-up to the NFL draft is the gold carpet and all the players coming in. So we decided to cover that for you. But what we decided to do was have a special correspondent, a Giants fan from Chicago, Ian Matakow.
My name is Ian Matakow, and I'm 10 years old, and I am the New York Giants kid reporter at the NFL Draft. And let's go check out the gold carpet.
Man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I like the Giants. My dad's a Giants fan. We all like the Giants.
When did you start playing football?
I started playing football at 4 years old.
Wow, that's kind of weird.
Ian, big diehard Giants fan for the last 3 years, told me how much he was excited the draft was coming to Chicago, decided to write a letter to the Giants. And he didn't just write one letter, he wrote four. So he contacted Jerry Reese, Tom Coughlin, Mr. Tisch, Mr. Mara. He just told everybody how excited he was to be at the draft. And then, not only did he get a letter back from John Mara and Tom Coughlin, but we got this wonderful invitation to come here.
Because Tom Coughlin is like my favorite coach of all time. When I got a letter from him, I just freaked out. And well, John Mara, he's the owner of the team. And he's also awesome. So, and when I got a letter from him, I also was like, oh my God.
Do you think you're going to win a Super Bowl in your future?
That's the goal, you know. That's what you dream of doing, so that's your goal.
What's the first thing you're going to do when you get drafted?
I'm probably going to hug my father, hug my mother, and take that strut across the stage.
Are you excited for the draft?
Very excited, overly, you know. It's a dream come true.
And kind of nervous for the draft?
I'm nervous? I was nervous this morning, but today, at this moment, not at all.
I've been a Giants fan since the 70s. I've been following every game since the first Super Bowl win. Ian started watching with me about 3 years ago, and now he watches every game. And I was trying to tell him how exciting it is to share the Giants, but when you live in Chicago, it's kind of hard. There's a few people out here who are trying to get more, and this is just amazing. And Ian is so psyched to be here.
You know, one day, he may be like in the Hall of Fame. You never know what happens. And if I met him in a few years, it's different. Because like you meet him when he's young, and he has potential in his future. But the most exciting thing is probably this, because you get to get interviewed by the Giants.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll see you.
That's it, Giants fans. On the gold carpet. See ya.
Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. During the past season, there were some tremendous stories submitted by Giants fans with Hospitals for Special Surgery, USA Football. And the name of the contest was Heart of a Giant. This week, we focus in on a young man from Montvale, New Jersey.
Anthony Cartazzo of Montvale, New Jersey has been selected as one of USA Football's 2014 Heart of a Giant Award winners for his unparalleled work ethic and passion for the game.
At USA Football, we felt it was critical that we created an award program that really highlights the values of the game. Really, there's no other award out there that salutes the players for doing everything right on and off the field when it comes to work ethic, passion, determination.
On March 19th, 2014, while running warm-up laps before track practice, Anthony's heart stopped and he collapsed on the field.
I mean, up until everything happened, it was just a normal day. Went through my normal school day, got changed, went up to the field for practice. I remember running the two laps, and I had a very difficult time running them. And then after I ran the two laps, I remember walking over to where everyone was stretching and just putting my hands on my knees, and that's the last thing I remember.
Thanks to the quick response of his teammates, coaching staff, and athletic trainer, Anthony was shocked back into rhythm using an AED that was stationed nearby.
When I got to the hospital, Anthony could hear me, but he couldn't see me. So it was very scary, and I didn't know if there was like any brain damage or there was anything going on. I didn't know it was his heart. We didn't know what had happened.
He was later diagnosed with an anomalous aortic origin of the coronary artery and underwent a 5-hour open-heart surgery to correct the problem.
It almost seemed like it didn't really happen, and that because I didn't remember any of it and everything had happened so quickly, it just seemed like it was almost kind of like a dream, and none of it was real.
After 6 months of rehab, Anthony finally received the news from his doctors he was desperately craving. He was cleared for full contact football activities.
The first thought in my mind was relief when Anthony came through. And then the second thought in my mind was, as soon as he's ready, we're going to get him back on the football field.
Determined to overcome his setback, Anthony worked hard to get his body back in shape. And on October 10th, 2014, Anthony took the football field with his teammates and started the first game of the season for Pascack Hills.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Anthony, quick
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
Welcome.
You. Thank you.
Heart of a Giant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing honor to win the Heart of a Giant. And this has been surreal, too. This is like a lifelong dream coming true, getting to meet some of the Giants players and being in your training facility. It's just amazing.
Oh, this was his dream come true. But he didn't have to do this to get here, let me tell you.
Congratulations. You guys are terrific.
He always wanted to meet the Giants. This was like, you know, his dream come true.
I mean, meeting Coach Coughlin, I grew up watching him.
Hey, Anthony, come on. Here we go. What do you got to say, Anthony?
I'll tell you guys, it's your last game of the season.
Yes.
You don't know where you're going to be next year.
Woo.
Good luck. Get the win Sunday. Yeah.
Get the win Sunday. Yeah. All right, let's have a team. One, two.
This is my dream to meet some of these guys. That's something I'll always remember. If you really want to do something and you love it enough, don't give up on it because you can accomplish anything.
Anthony certainly has the heart of a Giant. Tremendous story. Now it's time for this week's edition of Papa's Perspective, brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Well, the 2015 NFL draft is in the books. The Giants have also signed undrafted free agents out of college. Now starts the competition part. The young players will be in at the facility during the course of the weekend, trying to prove to the team what they have. Obviously, guys that are taken earlier in the draft have a little bit more wiggle room. But this is an opportunity for players to make first impressions, which tend to be lasting, especially for those guys that were drafted in the later rounds or guys who have earned a spot on the Giants by signing as an undrafted free agent. They did something in their college careers, in their workouts, to say, hey, we're worth bringing in, we're worth signing, we're worth taking a look at. Now you got to make your run. You know, we all know about the Victor Cruz story and how you get it done. But this is an interesting time of the year because the veterans have been in for their off-season program. That's underway. Now the rookies come in. They're going to play catch-up. That's the hardest part for rookies in today's NFL, trying to pick up the pace of what an NFL facility is like. It comes at you fast. It comes at you furious. You've got to have your stamina. You've got to eat right, take care of your body, and learn all the nuances. And it's always important to have a veteran who takes a vested interest in trying to help the young man along. That's my perspective. Make sure you join us each and every week for Giants Access Blue. Follow the Giants on Giants.com, on Facebook.com/New York Giants, and on Twitter at Giants. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
This week's Papa's Perspective was brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.